ready?
Hello, and welcome to Rhythm and Pixels, the video game music podcast. This is episode 2-7. Thanks for joining us. My name is Rob Nichols.
And I'm Pernell.
Every week, we get on the microphone, we listen to some great video game music, we talk about how much we like it.
We dance in our chairs.
We do a lot of dancing on this show. I mean, we both do a lot of dancing.
That's where it's at, man. That's how you know you're enjoying what you're jamming to.
So, anyway, before we get started, have you been playing any new games this week?
I've been really caught up in Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth, which is on PS4. It's a traditional turn-based role-playing game with Digimon. It's been a while, but they're back in Digiform. I am also playing, of all things, Bravely Default again in preparation for the sequel. I kind of trailed off. Spoiler alert. The game makes you replay a lot of the same story elements multiple times before you get to the end, and that's when I conked out. Now I'm telling myself, take the game off hard mode. It was really hard to do, but I took myself off hard mode for the sake of just getting through the game in time for the sequel.
I know, like, we both like the challenge of, like, really hard games.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes, like, you know, the story's going to be really great, and you just don't want to push the difficulty right away. Maybe for, like, a second playthrough, you might put, like, through the expert mode, maybe.
Well, it's like, with this game, it's more like, You basically beat every boss, and I beat them on the hard setting. But then when the game goes into repetition mode, you're fighting the same guys with the same tactics over and over again, but their HP just gets higher, which means it takes longer and becomes more tedious. So I just want to get to new stuff now, which makes it get boring.
Yeah, I hear that.
And then, like, the other game I'm playing right now is called Assault Android Cactus. It has been on Steam.
I've seen playthroughs of that. That looks amazing.
Oh, that's a fantastic game. Like, it's been on Steam for a bit, but, you know, I'm not much for the PC scene, so it recently hit PS4. I grabbed it, and I really do enjoy the game. It's like Smash TV.
Yeah.
Like, somebody who loves Smash TV said to put some Android girls on it.
Yeah, I love that overhead, like, shooter style.
Oh, it's great.
It reminds me of, like, Robotron back in the day. I used to play that constantly. And then and now it's, like, Geometry Wars kind of picked that up. And this game is, like, four-player. It looks great.
Yeah, I mean, one day I hope to even try the four-player. I've done two, and that's been fun.
And you've been playing on Steam?
No, I don't have it on Steam. I got it on PS4.
Damn.
It just released on there. And it has, like, up to four people on there.
I thought maybe we can get on together and play it on Steam. But, yeah, I don't have a PS4.
Well, weird thing. I do with two controllers. It's like...
Oh, right. We can just do couch. Multiplayer.
Exactly.
There we go.
So it's a lot of fun. Highly recommended at this point. It doesn't have the power up. It has power up pickups, but not in the same vein of Smash T where you could get different guns from boxes. It's just augmentation items, but the levels are so short that you can
have
a gun.
It's all about the bosses.
Exactly. There's some bosses in here too. But it's more like, here's a level with waves. And then when you beat that level, you can choose the same android for the next wave of guys, or you can change up.
It looks really cool. I don't know what Cactus has to do with anything, but it's
a character's name.
Okay, there you go. That works for me.
She's like, I'm Cactus.
So I've been playing Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
No Street Fighter 5?
Nope, because I don't have a PS4, like we've just talked about. And it's only on PS4.
Oh.
And I just moved, and I'm broke.
I know that pain.
So we were talking earlier, and I was like, I'm just going to wait until I can, you know, buy the whole thing. Because at that point, the patches will be out, the new characters will be out, because everyone's complaining that it's an incomplete game or whatever. Like, I just want to get my hands on it and start getting better than everybody else.
Dun, dun, dun.
But anyway, I've gone back to Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, which was, like, the first Street Fighter that really, like, grabbed a hold of me and just made me a Street Fighter fanatic. I loved Alpha. I love Street Fighter 2. But Street Fighter 3 is the one that made me say, I want to play this competitively. I want to get really serious about this game. And so it's really fun to go back and, like, relearn and just find whoever else is online and play them. And there's not a lot of Americans online still playing Third Strike online, at least on the East Coast, maybe. I don't know. Or I'm playing at the wrong time. I'm jumping online, and all I'm finding are, like, German guys, Irish guys.
Well, I think that is a lot
British
of ways
guys.
Contribute to, like, our...
Or girls. I don't know who they are.
Just, like, a contribute to a bit of our culture house. Like, I feel like while people do appreciate older games around here, when it comes to, like, competitive style, it's always, like... You know, new game in, old game out.
Yeah.
And so, like, as it is now, like you said, Street Fighter V is being played. I think you said 4 still has an active base.
4 is pretty active still. I think everyone who plays Street Fighter is like, it's time to move on to the new game. And 5 looks like it's got... 5 looks pretty solid to me. It's got, like, the gameplay mechanics that I'm really into. It's all about the frame traps and about the footsies. And I watched the top 16 level play at the last tournament in Philadelphia, Winter Brawl 10? No, Winter Brawl, I think it was Winter Brawl 13, and it was like the first like major tournament with Street Fighter 5, and it was hype. Ooh. It was so hype. I was like, I was watching it on my couch on YouTube, and I was like jumping up and down.
Oh my God, that guy!
Christy was like, "Well, you're just watching Street Fighter." I'm like, "I know, it's so awesome." I know, like, I'm probably like that guy watching like football on TV, but I don't care. I get so excited for Street Fighter. I get really excited for tournament play.
Hey, what can you say? Video games becoming tournament league level is what's bridging the gap between the nerds who wouldn't watch sports and the sports guys who wouldn't play the games.
Exactly. So now here I am watching Street Fighter like it's a sport, and I'm just obsessed with it.
Yeah, so it's like, to me, it's not a bad thing. It's just giving us more to have in common.
All right, so we've talked long enough about the games we're playing now. Let's talk about the music of the games we played when we were young.
And that leads us into today's theme.
Today's theme is arcade beat-em-ups. Now, our other topics, I would say, either games we played when we were young. I don't know. Half these games I never even played.
Whereas I, unlike, well, we talked about what you've chosen. I have familiarity with a lot of yours, but I don't think I'd really play them. But every game I chose, nostalgia central. Memories.
So growing up, I didn't have consoles for a long time, or I didn't, have all the latest and greatest. I went to the arcades, and arcade beat-em-ups, I've never been great at video games, and having an arcade beat-em-up is just like, you just hit the punch button, man, and it's just fun. You got the turtles, you got, beating up gangsters. Beating up a lot of gangsters.
No, the turtles never fought gangsters.
No, but like other games, like Final Fight series.
Yeah. Final Fight, man. When we get to wherever our picks are, there's going to be some dialogue for those games. That's for darn sure.
All right. So, I think we've talked long enough. This is an odd number episode, which means you start us off. I'm really excited to hear your picks.
Oh, no. Man, I got to set the pace here. Let's see. Well, the first track I'm going with is, lo and behold, I think I just mentioned the name, actually, Final Fight.
Yeah.
The arcade version, of course, because that's the theme. Mm-hmm. And the track that I chose is Industrial Area from the first Final Fight. And we are back. You are listening to the industrial area theme from the Final Fight arcade game, composed and written by...
Well, there's a lot of composers on this game. I don't know which composer is composers are responsible for this song, but this is a Capcom title, so we know there's a lot of Capcom composers on there. So there's a lot of names you might recognize. First off the list, Manami Matsume. Yoshihiro Sakaguchi. Yasuaki Fujita. Miromitsu Takaoka, Yoko Shimomura, which I know you've heard before, Junko Tamiya.
Wait, Yoko Shimomura was on this?
Yoko Shimomura.
Wow, that's a surprise.
Junko Tamiya.
Okay.
From Strider and from the Dream World Little Nemo.
Okay.
And Harumi Fujita.
That's a lot of names, but they're all, those are a crackerjack team of musicians there. They're all fantastic.
Oh, no doubt. This is a fun track.
Yes, it is, and it's kind of hilarious because this is a track from a stage that was so awful. I still believe this is why they cut it from the Super Nintendo home version, not because of space, but because the stage is just awful. But the track itself was used on the Bay Area level on the Super Nintendo version, and the boss of the industrial area was Rolento, which is a character a lot of Street Fighter fans may know as showing up in later versions of the game.
Showed up in Alpha 2, Alpha 3, and in Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, and it's weird, too, because, like, honestly, I barely remembered the guy. He just shows up out of nowhere. Kind of, lo and behold, he's from this series.
Yeah, I looked up. Yeah, actually, I remember looking through gameplay of Final Fight to pick tracks, and I was like, I knew about Rilento from Street Fighter 4. He was brought in at the very, very end of Street Fighter 4, and I hate that guy. So awful. But I remember him really well from the Alpha series. And I assume that he was from maybe Street Fighter 1, the very first one, but he wasn't. He was from Final Fight, which Final Fight is technically Street Fighter 2, 1989.
Wait, what?
It's called Street Fighter 1989.
We need to look this up later. I know nothing.
This was technically the sequel to the original Street Fighter, which is why there's Guy, Cody, and Hagar were brought into the later games.
Huh.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
That wouldn't make sense as to why they started just bringing all these characters in, though. I really had no idea about that.
Yeah, the Capcom characters, they brought them all together. And, like, of course, there's, like, some probably weird canon story that, like, groups them all somehow. Like, you know Zangief and Hagar were buddies.
Oh, they had to. Drinking buddies. Now, here's an interesting question.
Right.
A theme that I thought of as I was, you know, before the episode started was, like, each time we go into a different game, we need to come up and figure out what was the cheap tactic to beat bosses in the particular game.
Oh, I'm going to have a hard time remembering. Yeah, I don't know. I was bad at these games. I was just...
Why
just go broke playing these damn games?
Oh, don't worry. Don't matter how cheap your tactic, if the machine's difficulty was high enough, you're going to go broke, because that's how they're designed to be.
Yeah, my cheap tactic was putting in another quarter.
For Final Fight, I think, for me, I used Cody and Hagar, but more so Cody. And the trick was usually you jump in and you push down and punch, do a low punch into the guy. You stun him, then you grab him, and you knee him not three times, you knee him twice.
Okay.
Then you let him go, you grab him again, and you keep doing that over and over again, so you kind of keep him locked into an attack animation. But of course, the games, depending on the difficulty, you know, they get that invincibility frame and nothing works.
Right, right, right. So, like, after you hit somebody, there's like a couple invincibility frames where you can hit them again to keep you from being doing like an infinite combo against a boss or something like that.
Yeah, you gotta keep that money going in the machine, which is where your tactic comes in.
Exactly. not that I was great at that, because I only had like maybe a dollar, but, you know, I think the only game I could do cheaply was probably Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because I think all of us, when we were younger, played that game to death.
Yes, we did, honestly. We really did.
Oh, man. But the Turtles were huge when we were kids.
Speaking of which, I don't think that's the next track or anything, but...
No, but I want to talk about this song a little bit more. What I noticed about the Final Fight tracks were the snare drum is really loud.
And most in all of them, you think, or just this track?
No, all the tracks in Final Fight, the snare drum is really, really loud.
Hmm.
And then the guitar, everything is done up almost kind of like a rock song. Like this, it sounds like it would have lyrics somewhere in the background.
Well, it's a fitting concept when you think of it. I mean, the whole premise was the traditional, you know, guy's girlfriend gets kidnapped,
yeah,
who happens to be the daughter of the mayor, who also happens to beat the tar out of thugs.
Right. There's a thing in Japan, like one of the top movies at the time was The Warriors.
Really? In Japan?
Yeah, that one, and there was another one that was bizarre. So, like, in the 80s and the early 90s, what was really popular was, like, these American, like, gangster movies where, like, they'd steal the girlfriend and the big tough guy would go save them. And so that's why there's games like Final Fight and there's games like Streets of Rage.
Actually, you just remind me of another thing about Final Fight. I don't know why I thought about it because of what you just said.
Yeah.
But, like, Final Fight was probably the first instance I've ever come across in game history from my field where censorship was a huge thing.
Yes.
When the Final Fight came out on Super Nintendo, they changed so much. One, the bosses, all their names got changed. Like, the first boss's name was Damned. The second boss's name was Sodom, as in sodomy. But they changed his name to Katana. And the first guy's name, I don't even remember what they changed his name to, but it was something very mellow.
Now, when they brought Sodom into the Alpha Street Fighter Alpha series, they kept his name Sodom.
So he left it?
Yeah.
And, like, remember all you need to fight girls in the subway? There's, like, a bunch of different girls in the game.
Very famously, and those were not girls.
They were transsexuals.
They were men.
But
it's okay, you're fighting men.
But that's where it gets weird. Like, I'm not sure if they were originally meant to be or not, but they eventually just said they were, because at first it was the women characters. Then the home version, they got transformed into, like very thin guys, like, named Billy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, the rumor mill kicked up. It was like, Poison's not a girl, it's a guy.
Right, so they brought Poison into the other games, and everyone's like, yo, no, Poison's a guy. And I'm like, no, come on. We're just...
And it took Capcom to like 2012 to even come up with a response to it. Like, it took them forever, and they still haven't got a full-on one.
Just admit, it's weird localization. It's fine. All right, let's move on. Not that I'm uncomfortable with this. I'm just saying.
It's hilarious.
I'm ready for some more music.
What's the next track?
All right, so we're keeping with the Capcom. I think today is mostly Capcom, because Capcom dominated the arcade games. Capcom and Konami.
I was about to say, I don't know if it's all Capcom.
I almost picked one from a different company, but I did not. So my next is from a game I didn't hear until much, much later, like probably later in high school. It's called Alien vs. Predator by Capcom.
Ooh.
And one thing I found when listening through arcade beat-em-up soundtracks was that the ending themes and the opening themes were like so different from the in-game music. There were like the in-game music, which is like usually like kind of rough, tough, like kind of rock music, but the opening music and the ending music was kind of like romantic slow jams, and I loved it. I just fell in love with these weird slow jams from arcade beat 'em ups. So without further ado, this is the opening theme from Alien vs. Predator for the arcade. Are listening to the opening theme from Alien vs. Predator. The composer is Hideki Okugawa. I just want to say that I've mistaken my other track for the romantic track, but this is still like, for this is the opening theme. So you imagine like you're walking past the arcade machine and it's playing this opening music. Like, this is maybe not the attract music, but it's playing. It's very, like, cinematic. It reminds me of, like, a late 80s, like, ninja movie they'd be playing on, like, maybe cable network after hours.
It definitely doesn't sound like music for a game when you're a girl with a gun shooting aliens.
Yeah. So there's the female character, like, has there's the female Marine, there's a male Marine who's got, like robot arms and stuff like that. And then you can also play as the Predator. And the whole game is, like, aliens are invading, I think, the Earth. And so the Predators team up with the humans to kind of take care of business. And it's insane. There's like the combo system is crazy.
I'm going to try that out more, because to be honest, it's kind of weird. Like, I don't have very many memories of this game, but I remember the female warrior for some reason. Like, she looks very familiar to me.
You may have seen it like somewhere, but maybe didn't get a chance to play it. But it's it's an interesting game. It's like I said, like there's a combo system. There's there's quarter circle forward and backward movements like you would in Street Fighter.
Really?
In this game, it's very interesting. The sprite artwork is gorgeous. You play it today, it looks like it could have been a recent game.
So it still holds up.
It holds up amazingly well. It's a very, very, very cool looking. The music is awesome. I love this opening theme because it's just like
very dramatic.
It's super. It's so over dramatic, and it's got that 80s sound.
Save the Earth from the aliens.
Although I think this game came out in 1994 by Capcom. So yeah, it still has like kind of a late 80s kind of sound to it. The arcade games in the early 90s and late 80s had the sound chips weren't as advanced still, but like they had a specific sound to them, and this really.
And they did amazing things with what they had, though. So.
Yeah, it sounds great. There's like the piano comes through with like these kind of minor chords. It sounds really cool. Like maybe like a samurai movie, you know, like people walking away into the sunset. You know, they've just like killed the bandits in the town, and they're walking away.
I mean, this is definitely something I could appreciate. Yeah. Honestly, like. I'm listening to this. I'm like, I'm just playing a theme in my own head of like what's going on behind the scenes as this music is going. I think it did its job very well.
All right, I got a little story. I know we've been kind of talking a lot during the show, but I got a weird story. So the last time I saw this arcade cabinet
mm-hmm.
was three years ago.
That's recent, actually.
Very recent, which is weird. So. My sister-in-law said, "Hey, we're going to this. We're going to go to like this family fun camp up in upstate New York somewhere. It was called Lake Oquaga. Lake Oquaga.
Always some hard name.
So it was like kind of cheap, you know. It was kind of off season. We would rent cabins, and it was on this lake here, and they had." All of these like kind of rec centers around it, and there was no one there but us. Like it was us and her family, so it's like, you know, we were all just kind of hanging out. It was fun.
You had run of the place.
Oh, we had run of the place. It was bizarre. This place was straight up like Dirty Dancing.
Ooh.
It was like the whole place was drama themed. So apparently a lot of like drama clubs and camps would go there, and there's like ballrooms, and there are like stages, and like the guy who owns it is like in his 90s, and he does like comedy. It was so strange.
Drama
it was
at Camp Okamoke.
One of the weirdest weekends. But in the rec center, they had, no joke, they had a Smash TV. They had Alien versus Predator, like right next to each other. And then they had like an old school bowling alley where the pins didn't, you had to go and set the pins yourself. Like it was old school.
So what you're basically saying but is they had, your vacation was that room.
No, when it rained, yeah. I mean, I like to hike, and I'm really into, like, you know, swimming and stuff. But, like, when I realized they had Alien versus Predator, I was like, what? How did this end up in the middle of nowhere here?
This old man knew his games.
Just crazy. So, yeah, I played the heck out of it. But, yeah, I certainly did. But, so, yeah, that's my weird story in the lake in New York where I found Alien versus Predator.
Hey, I think it's strange.
There was another game there. I can't remember. Probably one of those like Galaga Pac-Man combos. I don't remember.
Alien meets Predator, perhaps.
Alien meets the Predator.
There you go. I think that's what you found there.
All right, so that's Alien versus Predator. Pernell, what do you have for us next?
Well, being who I am, there's no way I could do an episode based on arcade beat-em-ups and not choose a track from this game. I couldn't forgive myself if I did.
Very excited about this.
So I went with Moe's Tavern from the Simpsons arcade game. That was by Konami. We'll be right back. And we're back. You are listening to Moe's Tavern from the Simpsons arcade game by Konami, written and composed by...
I have Norio Hanzawa, but I'm pretty sure it's Kazuo Hanzawa.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, that one, because...
He's from Treasure, and the Treasure programmers and composers were... they came from an offshoot from Konami.
And I think this was the one I was telling you about before where he said this is like one of his first tracks or something.
First games, I believe, yeah.
And it's like, it stands out because this is like, the Simpsons arcade game had music that was good for the game, but not so much to listen to on your own time. But this track, for example, stands out.
This is a cool track. It's very advanced. There's a lot of like moving parts to it. Like the rhythm is different. It's not 4/4. It's very like do, 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 do. And then the lead's got that kind of cool synth horn section. And there's a lot of different parts to it for an arcade game is amazing.
Honestly, the entire premise behind... I mean, I love The Simpsons, the show, and I'll admit the show, even in its early days, has some absurdity to it. But the premise behind the game was just so absurd.
It was just an excuse to get them into a beat-em-up, honestly, right?
It really was. Like, what was it? They bump into Mr. Burns, who's the richest man in Springfield, who's stealing a diamond from a jewelry store. And Maggie sucks on it because it replaces her passport. So they just run away. This is all spontaneous, mind you. They chase Maggie. And thugs that Matt Grain just kind of came up with on a whim are just bursting out of truck from fences.
Yeah, it's just
buildings.
Like those are the normal thugs. Like they were like wearing like suits and he just beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, it was so weird. And like, he sees Liz. Like, it's like, I just picture Mr. Burns like running. It's like, he bumps into a has-been wrestler on the street. Like, stop those Simpsons. They're chasing me for my diamond baby. Like, it's so bizarre. And then the transitions between the stages are even stranger. Like, for example, this is Moe's Tavern, right? You know, the show, you see where Moe's is located. It's just on the street. You walk in, you park your car. So, in the game, after you fight a giant balloon that blows up on the boardwalk of an amusement park, you fall hundreds of feet into a tree in a cemetery, which you then find a secret elevator in the cemetery,
right, yeah.
Which takes you down, down, down. And then you fight two thugs, one really tall, one really short. And then when you beat them, you somehow walk into Moe's Tavern. So apparently, Moe's is now hundreds of feet underground.
Right.
And it's a ridiculously long bar because you fight your way through it. And then you fight not Barney, but some random other drunk.
Well, that's what was fun about the Simpsons arcade was like, it was the Simpsons characters and the Simpsons places, but it wasn't exactly the Simpsons. It wasn't like this exactly the places that you've seen or the people that you've seen. It's just like it's Simpsons like, but it's kind of fit into this beat 'em up arcade world.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong.
It's a stellar
game. Like
we played that a couple of years ago at the Barcade 1984, which we talked about a few times here in Wilmington, Delaware.
We played it from beginning to end, I think, there too.
Yeah.
We beat it from beginning to end.
Oh yeah, a couple times.
So, because, like, that's the other thing about the Simpsons game, too, is, like, as a kid, I remember, this is like you said, you didn't have much money, went to the arcade here and there.
Right,
so,
right.
I went to this arcade, started playing the Simpsons, got to, like, I think we got to Dreamland, and I ran out of credits after, like, on the boss, probably you're fighting all the Bart Devils, and after that happened, I had to go out and run out and get money from my mom, who was at another store. I come back, and they're in a dojo fighting ninjas, and I had no idea what was going on or why they were in a dojo.
So the guys you were playing with...
They kept going.
Yeah, yeah. That's what's fun about the arcade beat-em-ups is that they were either three-player or they were four-player, and in some cases, like the X-Men arcade, was six-player. And that was really neat because people can jump in and jump out at any time, so it really encouraged kids to play with strangers and play with people that you wouldn't normally meet or talk to, and I think that was kind of a fun bonding experience and like a kind of a friendship building experience for kids.
And this game had that in spades, actually, when you mentioned that, because
everyone loves The Simpsons, especially at this time, 1991, 92. Yeah,
it wasn't just that, but that's a very large component, you know, because there was the bonding experience, just like how the Turtles had it.
Oh, totally.
But like Well, first of all, the one thing I mentioned was I didn't learn for till years later that the reason why they were in a dojo was because you were in a TV studio, because I didn't come back with enough money to play the entire game for
years.
Came
all over the place.
But, like, what you mentioned before was legit because right after the TV studio, you go to the nuclear power plant, which is where the last boss fight takes place. And Mr. Burns and Smithers have so many forms, and it just goes on and on, that kids were pulling out money from places you have no idea where they're getting it from, because you had to be there when the final blow was landed on Mr. Burns to feel like you were a part of the experience.
Right. If you weren't there at the very, very end, then you didn't actually beat the game.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're like, I need another quarter.
And then when the credits rolled, you had to be there when the credits were rolling.
Yes.
There was one time we were playing Turtles, and we got to the very, very end, and we finished it. And I accidentally hit a button on the credits, and the credits finished. Everyone's like, why did you hit that?
You ruined it for everybody.
So that brings us along to my track, which, again, 80s, 90s cartoons. This is the game Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Oh!
Which is a bizarre cartoon, but there's a cartoon was tied into the game. Cadillacs and Dinosaurs for the arcade. Let me just double check my thing here. What did I pick? This is the ending theme to Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
That was the ending theme to Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. It's just, that was what I meant by like these ending themes being long and romantic. They have no business being long and romantic when like it's a bunch of, you know, 10-year-old kids just sitting at an arcade machine putting like $50 into it for about 3 hours.
Well, they want you to feel like you accomplished something and feel the gravitas of, you know, accomplishment that comes from beating the tar out of villain number 12 from Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
How about I hit that again? So it starts with this. Oh, it sounds like a soap opera. I love it.
You're saved now, honey.
Yeah, we destroyed the dinosaurs.
Oh, thank you so much,
finally,
Jack.
We can be alone in this world without dinosaurs.
But what if the dinosaurs come back?
Trust me, honey. They won't.
Get in my Oh, Fawny!
Now get in my Cadillac.
Hi-oh!
Hi-oh! This is, Anyway, the composers are Isao Abe and Siyun Nishigaki.
Also, by the way, I realize what I was thinking about when I kept saying Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Okay, what was that? Because we stopped it and had to look up the cartoon tie-in for what the cartoon tie-in opening theme was, which was bizarre. Totally insane.
I was actually thinking about Denver the Last Dinosaur.
And
that song's intro has that sound right. Denver the Last Dinosaur. So that's
He's my friend.
And a whole lot more.
This song he's a whole lot more.
He shows you a world you've never saw, because apparently that's English.
Never
shows you
it.
A world you never saw before. Dan in the den. But I didn't watch too much of Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, though. I gotta admit, like, I had very little association with the property, which is also probably explains why I thought it was Denver the Last Dinosaur.
It's
in the
weird.
Theme song.
I was ready to like go on with that. I was like, oh, that's right. I had a crazy theme song. But no, the theme of the cartoon was just like explaining the premise. In the 26th century, evolution goes haywire, and apparently there's dinosaurs now.
But the cars don't go away, but we only have Cadillacs at this point.
Yeah, anyway, I want to hit this one more time. Because I just love...
You need that opening.
I love the ending. Okay, first of all, yeah, I do need the opening again. I just need that opening.
Wow.
I know we're past Valentine's Day, but this is a Valentine's song.
Well, hey, just keep it in mind. Next Valentine's Day, when you make dinner for the missus, you know, put the candles out, crack on some Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
She comes over like
anything happens.
She comes over from like a long day of work. I turn the song on.
Hey, baby. Ready for some Cadillacs and
Dinosaurs?
You know,
I've won Valentine's Day.
Here, have some Cadillacs and Dinosaurs brand Chef Boyardee pasta.
Hey, Rob. How was your Valentine's? Did you have a good time? What'd you do? Oh, I stayed in. Some Cadillac and Dinosaurs.
God. I'm going to call you on this come Valentine's Day. I'm just saying. I'm going to.
This song is so good. It's got this. It's so 80s.
I'm just picturing her face going, what the hell is this?
Yeah, she would totally give me that look.
Oh, my God.
She would say, you've been doing this podcast too damn long.
It's invading our lives. We have to make it stop.
All right.
So I guess it's that time, huh?
No. We keep going.
Got to keep rocking. He is air guitaring over here. This is officially Rob's love ballad.
Shh. Quiet.
God,
I love the ending. Oh, the ending is the best. There's the drummer. You're like, he just can't get the drummer. Can't get enough. Hold on, the drummer. But you think it's over? The drummer. The drummer
says,
no. I've
never played this game. But at this point, it's kind of ingrained in my head. I've never played this game. But I'm going to always remember it now as the game with the all-time greatest love ballad. I don't even know anymore.
There it is. I love it. Yeah, it's the love ballad to Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
The love ballad that time forgot, but Rob did not.
I did not. I did not forget. Did you hear me? I will never forget. All right, this is the we've gone all long enough here. This is the time of the show. We like to call the bonus round.
Bonus round.
This is the part of the show where Pernell and I will try to pick covers or remixes within the theme of today's show. And barring that, we just pick covers and remixes of wonderful video game music that we really like, whether it's recent or, you know, it's in the past. Either way, these are interpretations of music that we love and just music that has been composed for the video game genre, the video game medium.
Mm-hmm.
Pernell, what do you have for us today?
It was interesting, actually, because I didn't expect to come across too much with remixes from arcade beat-em-ups, to be specific. But lo and behold, there are a couple out there, and thankfully I was able to find one for a track for a game that I was hoping to find. So I give you Star Turtles 2, The Wrath of Man by Snuggleman.
We'll be right back.
just listened to Star Turtles 2, The Wrath of Man by The Snuggleman, which is a remix of the Starbase theme from the Turtles 4 Turtles in Time arcade game.
Yeah, and the composers for The Snuggleman, which is a crazy
boss.
Name. I know, every time I keep saying it, is a Wildcat, Omega Drive, Carbohydro M, and an artist that I recognized called Snapple Man.
Now, what's the deal with this Snapple Man, apparently?
Yeah, Snapple Man, I've just heard him through other games and through other remixes where he does a lot of like heavy rock remixes of video game tunes, and it's always like really like technically like spot on. Like he just must be this amazing session guitarist who just loves video game music. But I've seen his name around, and I saw that name, and I'm like, yes, I know these people, but they're called the Snugglemen.
And definitely, I mean, this guitar proficiency that you've mentioned here definitely stands out in this track because they did a lot with a very specific track. Like, the basic track is like a minute long, and they did 5 minutes worth out of it.
Yeah, the track's maybe like a minute or so, and this track was about almost 6 minutes long, and it kept going back to the general theme, but it went off on its own, just going all over the place. And went into like this really heavy, like kind of blast beats with a double kick drum, and then it went back to the main theme again. And the main theme, of course, is that the Turtles are cartoon theme.
Yeah, that the theme song for the show, yeah. And it's like I already had a track picked in advance, but I wanted to give one more once over to a few other tracks to see if something else stood out. And I got to this one, heard it, and just locked it in. Like, there was no moving on from here.
Yeah, every bonus round on episode, we usually almost always end up picking like a good rock track. So I feel like a lot of arcade 90s NES Genesis music lends itself to rock music really, really well.
Oh yeah. And this was good. I can't stand for more of this.
Yeah. Well, my track is a little on the different side. It's from the artist Zachary Wilson, and it's called Beat 'em Up Boogie from the game Final Fight. We're fading that one out. That was Zachary Wilson. The song is Beat 'em Up Boogie. And from the label Ubik Tune. Found that one on SoundCloud. Crazy.
I didn't at first when you mentioned it to me. I was like, I don't know what to make of this. But as we listened to the whole thing and we sat here with it, I actually came to appreciate it more because I don't think this is a remix of any track in the game. It's just he mixed an original track using sounds and effects from the game.
So it's not really a remix of the music from the game, but it's definitely funky.
Oh, it has Beat 'em Up Boogie too.
So it reminded me of late 90s Square Pusher, if anyone remembers the artist Square Pusher, kind of on the vein of Aphex Twin, where it's like really fast, kind of glitchy sounding techno music, super glitchy. But he always from much more melodic and very jazzy And this had that feeling for me.
Yeah.
He said at one point that was he looked over me and said, "That's the sound of you kneeing some guy in the head."
Yeah, it was like he used the sound from when you're kneeing guys in the game. He used the sound when you're throwing a guy. I was
Yeah, I like that.
I was picking sounds left and right throughout this song.
Yeah.
And I did hear Square Pusher. I think you don't want to introduce me to Square Pusher, actually.
Oh, wow. And I remember, yeah.
Yeah, you did. That was one of the first, when I first met you, you listened to Square Pusher, and Chris introduced me to Deerhoof in that same day. But Square Pusher was a weird guy, but his music, whether you liked it or not, it was very special.
Yeah, he's evolved a lot. Like he's still producing, but his stuff has went off the deep. And I actually have some LPs on here. If you want to check them out later, we can listen to a couple tracks from the from his '90s era. Anyway, that was Zachary Wilson, not Square Pusher. And and you can check him out on SoundCloud. You can check out all of our other artists from the bonus round on our website, rhythmandpixels.com. We'll have links to all of their artist pages, their information, and you can give them a listen. Send them some money. Send them some love, and to check them out.
I highly recommend you take them up on that, because there's some good tunes that lead into other good tunes.
That's right.
It's a rabbit hole you want to go down.
You've been listening to the Rhythm and Pixels Video Game Music Podcast, our focus on beat-em-up arcade music.
Don't be surprised if we end up coming back in a future episode with not arcade beat-em-ups, because we left a whole vein untapped.
The beat-em-ups on the SNES, beat-em-ups on the Genesis, beat-em-ups on the NES?
Just beat-em-up.
What's a beat-em-ups on the TurboGrafx?
Riot Zone.
Okay, there's one. I don't know much about that.
Well, that might be a track that has to come up then, because Riot Zone was one I had interesting memories of, even though it was like, we'll talk about it another time, but it was basically a clone of Final Fight.
Well, I think a lot of these games were clones of Final Fight in some way. But I had a really good time listening to the music. We heard some good rock music, some good romantic music, some good cinematic music, and then some cool like hard rock music.
And then we just had some pretty cool conversation too, because can't have a good music session without a good dialogue to accompany it.
Yeah. Good music kind of brings us together, and that's what this podcast is all about.
You're here to that.
So if you want to learn more, if you want to reach out to us, send us an email.
rhythmandpixels@hotmail.com.
And if you want to learn more about us or see more, the full track listing and see other episodes, check out our website.
www.rhythmandpixels.com.
Actually, there's no W's there. It's just rhythmandpixels.com.
Oh, raspberries.
I don't know where that's going to go to. I'm going to find that out later.
Throw off a jingle.
And if you want to check us out on Facebook, check us out on Twitter. Facebook is /rhythmandpixels. And on Twitter, it's @rhythmandpixels. And you can send us a message, send us some information. There's some dialogue happening there. Get information on the next episode and, just what's going on.
And by all means, if you have any suggestions for topics or themes or songs you want to hear, anything at all, just hit us up. Let us know so we can get on that.
Yeah, I don't like to think of us as experts, but more as enthusiasts of video game music. So if there's anything you want to hear, or you think there's anything that we might have missed, please email us or just let us know on Facebook, and we'd like to bring it up on the next episode, or maybe even make it a whole theme for our new episode.
Here, I like the idea of that, actually. A fan chosen theme episode. That could be cool. Get on that. I want to do it, man.
I'd like to check that out. Do you have anything else, Pernell?
Not so much. I've just been jamming, getting down to business over here.
Yeah, I've been just enjoying the tunes. So you've been listening to the Rhythm and Pixels Video Game Music Podcast. My name is Rob Nichols.
And I'm Pernell.
Thank you for listening.
Push it to the limit at all times. And if you see a mysterious turkey in a trash can, it does nothing but good things. Trust me on that.
Get that health up.